This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here on today's program. And we are slammed. I hope you enjoyed the College World Series and college baseball talk. Paul Menary, head baseball coach, LSU. Rick Vanderhook, head baseball coach, Cal State Fullerton. Then later in the hour, we're going to talk Razorback baseball with Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tomorrow, Joe McCarthy, who was picked in the draft from Virginia, is going to join us. So we're going to be talking to that young man. Also, with the Nebraska All-Star, we have so many All-Star things going on. The All-Star Wrestling Duel. We've got basketball and volleyball All-Star games going on. And, of course, the NBA and NHL Finals. So a lot going on, and we are pleased that you could be with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And, it's a little scorcher out there.
It's a little warm. Warmish.
And by the way.
Warmish. It must be College World Series times because it's hot.
I very few times disagree with Mike and Mike, but Greenberg was totally in the can this morning. The bottom line with that NBA game is, and you guys can email us, call us, Facebook us, tweet us, whatever you want to do, isn't the whole point to get it right?
I think
the whole point is to get it right. So they got it right. That's the bottom line. 888-455-ESPN. That's the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. 888-455-3776. Tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550. And you can always email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Real quick, I just want to point out, though, the problem I have with how that transpired is it almost seems like they got it right by accident. There was some problems with the methodology. We'll come back and talk about that.
Don't use big words.
Well, I just they got it right by accident. It almost seemed like, but why not? We're here. Let's check.
I'm a little worried for Coach Paul Menary and LSU because I don't know if he'll have any players next year. They've all been drafted. Paul Menary joins Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter back on the Doug and Daddy Show. We got a chance. Well, we always get a chance to talk with Coach Menary. He's gracious with his time when he comes to the College World Series. Of course, we talked with him earlier this season when they played Nebraska down in Texas. And, Coach, at the time we signed off with, we hope we get to do this again. So congratulations. How are you?
It's good to be with you guys. Can't tell you how thrilled we are to be coming back to that wonderful city that you all reside in. It's where LSU belongs. We call it Baton Rouge North, by the way.
Oh, we love it. We love the baseball, and we love the food. We love the tailgating food. There's nothing better than LSU fans coming up with a little Creole and everything that they make.
Yeah, we don't slap like meat between pieces of bread. We took the alligator sauce pecan, jambalaya, and crawfish etouffee. Oh. You got to come with an appetite and be thirsty if you want to hang around with the Louisiana people.
That's why I'm so glad they're playing Sunday, because I can't get there Saturday, but Sunday. Yes, Coach.
They'll still be tailgating Saturday. Don't get me wrong. They'll be tailgating Saturday.
No, they're tailgating today. They've already got there and got their spots. Paul, I want to start off with the draft. Man, it just shows how good your team is. Just about every starter has been selected here, pitching in your rotation, on the field. Just your thoughts on all these kids getting selected in the first 9-10 rounds.
I'm just really proud of all of them. You know, they all enhance their situations by coming to LSU, which is exactly what you want to see happen as a coach. You know, you gain your joy as a coach different ways. You know, one way is obviously winning championships and winning games on the field. sometimes your assistant coaches go on and become head coaches of their own, like my Brian O'Connor is the coach at Virginia, and I love that, and I'm very proud of that. But obviously another way is to see your players come to your program and then improve while they're here to the point that they become professional baseball prospects. And you look at Alex Bregman, the second overall pick in the draft. You look at Andrew Stevenson, who was undrafted out of high school, going in the second round. Jared Foster, undrafted. Decade Savick, undrafted. You know, these are all guys that win the top nine rounds. And you're just really proud of them. You know, you're not just of them, but of our program as well, because you feel good that an environment was created in which these kids could develop their skills, develop their abilities, and go out there and play to the point that somebody out there in a professional organization thought they were a major league prospect.
Paul, with seven guys being drafted, I kind of look at this and I think there's kind of a fine line a little bit, because if you lose too much of your team too soon, you don't make it to Omaha. But yet, obviously, if they evolve into that player with seven guys getting drafted, you've got a pretty good team. Is there a way that you try to keep that balance so maybe they don't bloom too early? I mean, I'm asking the question in a poor way, but there's a balance you kind of have to have there, isn't there?
Well, if you look at it closely, it's very unusual. Four of those seven players are seniors. Our catcher, Cade Svick, is a senior. Our second baseman, Jared Foster, is a senior. Our third baseman, Connor Hale, is a senior. And then Zach Pearson, one of our relief pitchers that was selected, is a senior as well. So, you know, I mean, they can't come back and play another year anyway, so we might as well see them go into professional baseball. But Andrew Stevenson, Mark Laird, and Alex Bregman are all juniors. And listen, if you have the opportunity to coach them for 3 years and they're ready to go into pro ball, that's really when they have their leverage and their negotiating power. You have to be grateful for the 3 years that you had with them and wish them well as they move on. You know, it's a lot of players to be losing from one team to the next year. It wasn't necessarily by design. You know, Jared Foster was an outfielder who was sharing time with somebody else. I had an underclassman playing second, but Foster just kept playing so well, and I didn't want to platoon him anymore, so I moved him into the infield, taught him how to play second base, and he's made our team stronger. But it also means that there'll be more turnover for next year. But I felt like we had a team that we should just go ahead and go for it this year, play the best guys, and see if we can't win the big trophy.
We're talking with Paul Mineri, head baseball coach at LSU, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You talked about coaches moving, and yesterday Coach Schlossnagel told us here on the show all about Andy Canizzaro, your first-year hitting coach. You guys are hitting .316. Obviously, there's a lot of familiarity there. How much can he tell you about what TCU wants to do?
You mean how much will Andy tell me about TCU?
Yeah, having the Tulane connection and yeah, knowing what he wants, what Jim does.
Well, I think Andy knows Jim Schlossnagel as well as anybody does. They're very close, and so he knows his style of play and what he likes to do. But, you know, so many games are on television now, we can scout the games pretty well. There's no secrets about how we play to them and how they play for us. It's going to come down to – it's going to be a great ball game. I mean, you got two teams that have won 50 ball games each. Two of the very best teams in the country. They pitch the ball tremendous. They've got some good baseball players. I think that Sunday afternoon game is really going to be quite a ball game, and hopefully we can figure out a way to play a little bit better than they do.
And Paul, obviously you're tested in fire a little bit. Half the teams at the College World Series come from the SEC. How does that help you? How does that kind of prepare you for what you're going to be facing night in and night out in Omaha?
Well, this is crazy this year, because in our league there's 14 teams, and you don't play three teams every year. You rotate off your schedule. And this has never happened to us before, but we didn't play either Vanderbilt or Florida this year during the regular season. So we did play Florida once in the SEC tournament. We did not play Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament. So even though those teams were familiar with them, we really didn't play them much this year or at all. Arkansas now we're much more familiar with. They're in our division, so we play them every year, and we also played them once in the SEC tournament. But Vanderbilt's in our side of the bracket. We haven't played them all year. So even though we played them last year and we watched them play quite a bit, you know, I don't know if there's going to be any advantage or disadvantage from that standpoint. I know anytime you play Vandy, you're at a disadvantage because their talent is so good. I mean, they have great arms, and then three guys picked in the first round, including the number one pick in Dansby Swanson, who's a great ball player. So, you know, the playing in the SEC prepares you as well as anything can for the College World Series because, quite frankly, you're playing some of the very best teams in the country every weekend.
Just a couple questions left here for LSU coach Paul Mainieri so we can let him get back to more interviews in his busy, busy day. But freshman of the year in the country, not just the conference, is your pitcher Alex Lang. And if you just don't watch LSU but you like baseball and you look at his stats, you probably have to have sick to your stomach if they go against him. I mean, what a great year. How did, could you even imagine that this was possible so soon?
How lucky we are that this kid showed up at our campus. You know, how lucky we are Alex Bregman showed up and some of the other kids. Alex Lang just really wanted to come to college. He could have been drafted. He probably wouldn't have been drafted in the first round or second round last year. But, you know, obviously he's got a good body. He's got a good arm. He's got, you know, talent. Somebody would have given him a chance. But he was just had his heart set on coming to LSU, and boy, are we glad he did. But in no way could anybody predict that he would have done what he's done as a freshman. We've had some pretty good pitchers around here by the name of Aaron Nola and Kevin Gausman, Lewis Coleman, Anthony Renato, and so forth. None of those guys have done what Alex Lang has done as a freshman. So it's a little bit scary to think what this kid's capable of. He's a wonderful, wonderful young man. He's from the Kansas City area in Missouri, and if you met him for 5 minutes, you'd fall in love with him. He's so mature. He's very humble, gives all the credit to his teammates. But, boy, has he got a lot of talent as well.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks a little bit here. You play TCU on the Sunday afternoon game. You kind of mentioned that their pitching staff's pretty good. You're not going to face the entire staff. Who do you envision that you're going up against, and what would be the secret for LSU to come out of there with a win?
Well, I don't know who they're going to pitch. You know, they've alternated between a couple of guys pitching the opening game of their weekend series. So I'm not really sure who we're going to face, and we're not really going to divulge who we're going to pitch either until everybody's ready to share that information. You can't imagine it being a high scoring game because of how good their pitching is. So we just got to play really well. When we get our opportunities, we have to take advantage of them to score. We can't give them anything. You know, they're a team that likes to get on base any way they can and then make things happen once they get on base. They're not an ultra-powerful team because they play in a home ballpark that plays a lot like TD Ameritrade. It's a very difficult park to hit home runs, although they do have a freshman from Chicago, their catcher, who's got a lot of pop in his bat. So, they're just a good team, and they have been for several years. So it's going to take our very best effort to be able to come on top.
And finally, for Paul Mainieri, head coach LSU, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I thought you were the best team just watching you getting to play the Texas A&M series. As you said, on TV, you can watch a lot more college baseball now. So I liked you guys even going in when they picked UCLA as the number one national seed. But if you're so good, sometimes winning isn't enough. Some folks think that you're not playing your best baseball here in the postseason, the regionals and the super regionals, because of a couple of 2-0s and a 4-3. What would you say to that?
You know, I'm a coach, and you're never totally satisfied, okay? You want to see every aspect of your team's game being played at the highest level. I can tell you this, last year, for the last 10 games of the regular season, I think we outscored our opponents like 98-4. I mean, nobody was playing better than we were in the country. And right up until the eighth inning of the first championship game of the regional, with a 4-0 lead, we gave up 4 runs to Houston. They tied the game. We lost in extra innings and then lost the next day, and our season came to a screeching halt in the championship game of the regional. I don't really think it matters how good you're playing up to the point. I think it matters how good you play on that given day. And we've gone through a little bit of a mini slump here for about 5 games where we haven't hit well, but what it's done is it's magnified how well we can pitch and play defense. And somebody like an 8-hole hitter can rise up and drive in 3 runs for you and lead you to victory, or your 9-hole hitter can hit a walk-off home run for you to win the game. So I'm not in any panic mode whatsoever about people thinking we're not playing our best baseball, because I don't think it's true. I think other aspects of our game have emerged and shown that we can count on those if it comes to down to us having to win a 2-0, 2-1 game. On the other hand, when we're clicking offensively, we're capable of scoring some runs as well. So, listen, it's all going to come down to how well do we play on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock compared to how TCU plays, and then with each game after that.
Their 17th trip to Omaha in the College World Series, and Omaha, I don't think, likes any team outside of Nebraska and Creighton better than LSU. Coach Paul Mainieri with us, gracious with his time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, we'll see you in Omaha. Really appreciate it.
Can't tell you how much we're looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
We're going to take a quick break here. We got Rick Vanderhook from Cal State Fullerton on deck, and we'll talk to him, and then we'll talk more about our interviews with both coaches right after this.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies today with a slight chance for some showers and thunderstorms late this afternoon. We'll have hot temperatures in the low 90s, and then heavy rain is likely tonight with a low of 66. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now, it's 84.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not,
Doug and Danny Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on a Wednesday, getting closer and closer to the start of the College World Series. And folks, if you're wanting to watch the CWS or the NBA, NHL, everything that's going on, and enjoy some great food, then the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. You loved it so much in May, they're going to do it again in June. That's right, they're extending their Madness special of any salad on the menu for only $5.55. This isn't some little side salad. This is a big salad, taco salad, grilled chicken salad, however you want it. If you like it sweet, if you like it hot, they'll make it however you want. Taco salads, any salad, $5.55. Lunch, dinner, or somewhere in between, they're only $5.55. Every moment they're open, salads are $5.55 throughout the month of June at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. And you know, I'm not a salad just by itself type of eater, but on a 95-degree day, I could be probably talked.
Cool you down a little bit.
Yeah. And it's healthy. We're getting older. I'll tell you what, also making their 17th appearance in the College World Series, the first since 2009, is Cal State Fullerton. And they had some excitement. They had to go the distance. They beat Louisville. They came back with a couple of home runs. They were down 3-1 going into the eighth inning, forced extra innings. This game ended just early earlier than Texas A&M TCU, but kind of got overshadowed by 16 innings, how good that series was between those two teams.
Yeah, and it came down an 11th inning home run, and boy, I don't think it was too many home runs evaluated any closer or closer to being fair or foul than you would see in that situation. And boy, just you got to be on pins and needles if you're in the 11th inning and you have the chance to take the lead on the road, because you're not going to get that many opportunities traveling on the road like that. So that had to be pretty nerve-wracking.
And their closer is from Nebraska, so it'll be real interesting. And we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, we had two teams at Nebraska, the university played this year, LSU and Cal State Fullerton. And Cal State Fullerton was gracious enough to split with the Big Red earlier this year. Coach Rick Vanderhook joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Well, thanks for squeezing us in. Exciting time, and as one of the story programs in college baseball, I know 1 year away from Omaha is too long, and we are having cell phone problems, obviously, with Coach Vanderhook, so we will try and get back to him here. He has been busy, and we understand that the team didn't go home. They remained in Louisville, then they're going to go to Omaha. The coach did fly home to take care of some obligations and then meeting the team in Omaha.
A little bit unusual way of doing that, but again, as far as coach can be tired. he can have jet lag, and they survive that. You don't want your athletes, you don't want your players, especially your pitchers, because you pitch with your legs. You don't want that jet lag in there. So I think it's pretty ingenious of them to kind of choose that route to make sure that they had the best opportunity to win, because that first round game at the College World Series is just so important, staying in that winner's bracket, because double elimination, you only got the one, and you don't want to give up that that one loss too soon and have a chance to do the things that you want to do.
So there you go, Cal State Fullerton coming in at 39-23 on the season, and we do have an established connection with Coach Vanderhook. Coach, congratulations on getting the Titans back to the College World Series. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of trying to rest up from that Louisville regional.
Well, we just mentioned you left the team there and you went home. That's a little strange or a little different, but that's the circumstance.
Yeah, I had an eighth grader graduate from eighth grade yesterday, and I have a high school senior that graduates tonight, and I leave to go back tomorrow, and then all of them are on a plane on Friday morning, but they only graduated from high school one time, so I thought it was important that I come home and see them.
Well, I think that's outstanding you do that for your family, Coach. So hats off to you, and congratulations on the graduation. I want to talk a little bit about the moment when Almeida Barrera hit the 11th inning home run. And, boy, they really evaluated that, whether it was fair or foul. Talk a little bit about what your feelings were, the team's feeling were. What was it like in the dugout when you were spending 5 minutes trying to figure out if you took a lead in the 11th inning or not?
Pins and needles. this is the first time I've ever dealt with instant replay in a game. And then we had hit one earlier that Taylor Bryant had smashed. But miraculously, they didn't have an instant replay of that one. They just didn't have a view of it. And, when I went out and talked to Jeff, the umpire, we just had to sit and wait. And actually, we got lucky. It barely nicked it, but better lucky a little than unlucky by a little.
Coach Rick Vanderhook joining us from Cal State Fullerton on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what got you guys hot at the end of the regular season? What clicked over the last 3 weeks of the regular season for you?
Well, we went and played, where were we this trip? I think Maryland. We went and played at Maryland, came home, and went and played a midweek game at Bakersfield. And at Bakersfield, we got demolished. We had been at Maryland. We come home. We drove to Bakersfield, which is about 3 hours from us, and played like as bad as you could play. We lost 14, I think, to one. We made like 9 errors. And then since that point, I don't think we've lost a 3-game weekend. I think we lost one extra inning midweek game to UCLA. And the guys, it was kind of a wake-up call. We made a couple defensive changes and moved Pinkston to first. Taylor Bryant to second base, and things just clicked with him. And I'm not a stat number guy, but our record has been pretty good since that point.
Coach, it always seems that Omaha finds a team to adopt, and certainly with your connection to Nebraska, with Tyler Peitzmeier, your closer, you're certainly up for adoption this year, for sure. Talk a little bit about Tyler, who got drafted just this week, and what he's meant to your program, how he came to be coming from UTAN to being the closer for the Titans.
Well, you know, Tyler's a unique story. Perseverance, for one. You know, we have a fat guy named Jim Venuto who used to live in Nebraska that now lives in California that we befriended years before in Omaha. As, you know, the people there are very nice, and it's pretty easy to have friends now in that city. If you go a couple times, they're going to be your friends for life, and it's amazing. And Jim was that, and I was at UCLA at the point, and Jim called me and said, hey, you need to come see this left-hander, and I had somebody else go see him. And then Coach Serrano at that point was at Fullerton and went and saw Tyler, and, you know, Tyler wanted to go to California. And when I got there, you know, I kind of looked at him. He goes, do you know who I am? I go, I know who you are. and his first year was, you know, we asked Tyler, you know, what pitches did you throw? Oh, fastball, curveball, slider, change. Which one's good? All of them. Which they all think. and so, you know, he settled on a couple pitches, and they got a little better. And I think his freshman year, his first start was at Arizona State in the midweek, and he pitched well. Then his sophomore year, he really came into it. It was when Garza and Esterman were freshmen, and we were really good. That year we were really supposed to play in Omaha. I'm pretty sure we were the number one or two national seed going into the postseason, and got beat by a hot UCLA team that went on to win the World Series. And then Tyler's just gotten better and better. He's gone from an 83-mile left-hander with a little rolling breaking ball to 88 to 91 that goes downhill with a hard breaking ball. And it's been pretty good to watch him transform into a baseball player from just a little blonde-haired guy that, you know, we love his power alleys, but he was pretty green coming in. And, you know, we keep asking him, where are you moving? You going back to Nebraska, or are you going to stay out here in California? Because he wears sandals every day, and he's got his surfer blonde hair and his tan. And it's funny to watch how he's grown up, but he has just done fantastic.
They probably call him Sunshine back at home, so I can't imagine if he steps, and probably will step on the mound in Omaha, how he'll keep his heart and his chest. But it's your starter and Thomas Eshelman, and maybe you can tell us if he'll be your man on Sunday, but he was the first kid selected, goes in the second round of the Major League Baseball draft, 1.58 ERA, and you mentioned they kind of came in together. Will he get the nod Sunday, and just a little bit about him?
Absolutely. Thomas is a strike-throwing machine that throws four pitches. You know, if I'm anybody out there, I'm going to watch him. He's the most prolific strike-throwing college pitcher in the history of baseball. I think he has 18 walks in 3 years in over 300 and some innings. He is our version of Grave Maddox. throws fastball, slider, curveball, change. He's fun to watch. And, you know, he keeps us in every game, and we'll see if he's up to the challenge of handling the mighty Vanderbilt, or whatever they are, the Commodores, with all their first-round draft picks and all of that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're going to write us off before we get a chance to play, but I think Thomas will keep us in the game.
Let's do talk a little bit more about Vanderbilt, defending national champions, as you mentioned. I mean, obviously, Cal State Fullerton has a little bit of a championship pedigree as well. Do you try to paint your team? Do you talk to your team about being the underdog facing Vanderbilt? Are you trying to have an us-against-them kind of mentality heading into that game?
No, I mean, not really. But, you know, as we played through this in our league, Santa Barbara was supposed to be the great team. And kind of faltered. And then going into the regional, it was Arizona State. And then going into Louisville on the road, we had no chance against them because they played at Omaha 2 years in a row. And so we're going into here, and, you know, it's Vanderbilt, and then it's LSU, and those guys, those schools that we're playing in this tournament here spend more money probably on their golf program than we have in our budget in baseball.
They do have a good golf program.
last minute here with Cal State Fullerton coach Rick Vanderhook has been gracious to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I just want to ask you about your offense. As you mentioned, as far as offense, when it comes to the eight teams in Omaha, you guys are going to be towards the bottom with your 265 average. David has hit half of your team's home run, 10 of the 20, and you are efficient at stealing bases when you get on. How do you is it simply manufacturing runs, Coach?
It's just trying to score more than the other team. The other day, Coach Garrido, I was talking with him, and, you know, it was Sunday night, and I told her Sunday afternoon, and I said, yeah, you know, we just don't hit any home runs. You know, it's just the way who we are. And so, you know, when he got back to me Monday night after we won, he said, yeah, you don't hit home runs. You only won it with one and let it off with one. So that was an ironic thing. But, you know, I've never played in this park, so we'll see how much the new ball and the home run plays in this field. I don't know, you know, I haven't looked at Ed's numbers for the year to see what Creighton did and the home runs hit into it. But, you know, this park's good for us. It's a West Coast park. We, you know, we play in big parks on the West Coast, and some of the other teams don't. So hopefully it maybe gives us a little advantage to that.
Well, obviously, Augie's one of our favorite coaches to talk to on the show as well. Did he confirm that he'll be back next year?
Yes, he did.
Great. Great. Always great. Coach, we will let you get back to work. I know it's a busy time. Thanks for squeezing the Doug and Daddy Show into your day. Enjoy tonight and the graduation, and we will see you Sunday in Omaha.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Rick Vanderhook.
Thanks,
gracious
Coach.
With his time. Love the coaches. Let's face it. It's like with anything. We heard back from a lot of schools, couple schools, nothing.
Yeah.
And it's great to form relationships and have these guys on, talk a little bit of baseball, because we're going to have every game right here on ESPN Radio. And if you watch, and again, maybe it just depends who you hang out with. Maybe we have listeners that couldn't give 2 cents about baseball or college baseball. But I think a majority of Nebraska,
I think so, yeah,
loves their college baseball, and they are watching regionals.
Very, very proud of the fact that this national championship every year is in our state. And it reminds me, a few years ago, I took a family vacation. I actually was in Colorado for a few days. And, you know, you gas up, you stop at the convenience stores and stuff like that along the way. And I was like trying to find out. This is before the internet, and I had a smartphone, trying to figure out who won, who's going to be in the finals coming up next week. I mean, it's driving me nuts. I really had no way to find out. You're not going to get any information anywhere in Colorado. First place I stopped to get gas in Big Springs, Nebraska, I knew what the scores were, who's playing, you know, all that stuff. Once you just cross that Nebraska state line, I think there is just a tremendous appreciation for the College World Series. I think it's a much bigger deal here in this state than it is in other places. Obviously, in Fullerton, you know, and at LSU, there's going to be a lot of interest in college baseball. But for teams that aren't those traditional powers, areas that aren't a traditional college baseball power, I do think Nebraska really, the whole state really embraces this event, and it's a lot of fun. I look forward to it every year.
Well, and getting back to the young man that's going to get the start, and by the way, Peitzmeier did pitch against Nebraska and got the save that second game that the teams played, which at the time was the eighth in the game that they won, because Nebraska split with them, and he got a big save in a 4-3 game, mm-hmm, or else they drop a couple to Nebraska earlier this year. But getting back to Thomas Eshelman, of course, in the midweek didn't start or pitch against Nebraska. He mentioned he wasn't scoffing. He wasn't making up 18 walks in 3 years. I thought LSU and Alex Lang, this freshman, was something special. The freshman, National Freshman of the Year by the Coaches Association. 121 strikeouts, 44 walks, 11-0, 16 games that he's appeared in, and he started them all with a 1.89 ERA. Okay, then you look at Thomas Eshelman for a team that has struggled early. Now, he's just 8-5, and that's one of the reasons why.
They struggled
early,
yeah,
him with runs. He's 8-5 with a 1.58 ERA. He has only made the one appearance, and that was in the closer here, the last game out. 17 games started. He has struck out in innings pitched, 131 innings pitched in a third, 131 in a third. He has 131 strikeouts, and he has walked.
I can do that math in my head, too, by the way.
He has walked. Yeah, I got it. He has walked seven batters, 131 strikeouts, seven walks, and he'll get the nod against the defending national champion Sunday night in Omaha.
And again, you win that first game. Now you got a little momentum. You're feeling good about yourself. And, you know, Cal State Fullerton, why not? I mean, absolutely, why not? Why couldn't they be that team that gets hot at the right time? And I kind of agree with Coach Maneri, because he talked about how hot his team was last year and two straight games after they already won one championship game in the Super Regional. That's when they stubbed their toe in the eighth inning, and it just came to a grinding halt. But once you get hot in Omaha, now you kind of made it. You kind of are relieved. You kind of get that forward momentum, and you can do that. Vanderbilt really is seen as being – last year when they won it was seen to be a year ahead of schedule. I mean, they've got the overall number one draft pick that was just selected this week in their shortstop, Dansby Swanson. And again, one of the things that's different about college baseball this year than the last couple of years, the home run is back. And even that the shortstop for Vanderbilt, pretty good at striking, at hitting the ball out with 15 home runs on the year. So the home run's back. I think it's just going to be a little bit different than what we've seen the last few years with the College World Series. I think you're going to see a little bit more offense, and that is not necessarily good news for Cal State Fullerton, whose offense is probably, of the eight teams, is probably eighth.
Yeah, and they with little power. What do they got, 27 total triples and home runs for the entire year? And as we said, David, who had the two in the last game, has half of them at 10, so there you go. Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox. Nate chimes in Kearney. He says, there were a few years there when LSU wasn't in Omaha, and it just didn't seem right.
Yeah.
It's the only time of the year I cheer for an SEC school, but they are like the core of college baseball. They're my pick over Fullerton for the title. So there you go. Well, here's the deal. LSU and Fullerton are in the same bracket, so
right,
that they won't face each other in the championship, but they could meet in bracket two's final. So, Nate, thanks for the email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
And Nate's absolutely right. When LSU is in the College World Series, it's a lot better time in Omaha. I mean, you know, the food's better. The parking lot smells better. You get a lot more y'alls and come on over and grab something to eat. I mean, if you can't get along with LSU baseball fans, you can't get along with people. You just can't.
There's a lot more RVs, Clark. Yeah. In the parking lot,
you know, and
LSU comes up,
and they've done an okay job with the new location in terms of opening that up. But there was something about Rosenblatt; they had a lot more space. You had a lot more of these folks. Well, you know, there was
the residents said, "You park for free, you couldn't be
stopped." and walking, I mean, for blocks, walking through those neighborhoods for blocks, people would say, "Do you need something to eat? You need something? We cook too much here, you know." And you couldn't go to the game hungry. You just couldn't.
Sunday, well, they're both going to be great days. They're just the College World Series. We're going to have more coming up here in about 5-8 minutes. We're going to talk with Bob Holt down at Arkansas from the Democrat Gazette. Arkansas with Cal State Fullerton will be looked at as the two long shots in the field. We'll find out how far Arkansas can go because, let's face it, their record of 39-23 going through the SEC, not quite like the 39-23 at Cal State Fullerton out there in the West. We'll take a break. Back with more in the where are we?
We're in the Midway. Yeah, we're in Midway.
We're in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth.
Dent Popper inbox is a little small.
Gonna tell you,
it's a little cramped in there.
Mail there. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
What are your plans this summer? A family vacation? Sunny days by the pool? A nice cool home after all that outdoor fun? Then have your cooling system checked by the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Our technicians will make sure it's ready for all those hot summer days. So schedule a checkup today with the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating at 308-236-6437 or in Holdridge at 995-4481.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
When you hear Graham Tire, you think of tires, but they're more than that. They're the ASE certified service providers who care about you and your vehicle. Of course, they have the best in tires too. And now through June 30th, get up to $60 by mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four select Goodyear tires. Double your rebate up to $120 when you make the purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Your local tire and service network dealer, Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here in your Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And right now, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram says congratulations to all the graduates. You have earned something special. Now you can own something special with the 2015 College Grad Program. Now this offers special incentives if you've graduated from college in the last 2 years. Doesn't even have to be in May. Anytime in the last 2 years, or if you're going to graduate in the next 6 months, the end of the year, or are currently enrolled in a master's or doctoral program, you'll receive a $500 cash allowance on a new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicle. So take advantage of being smart, people! Visit Midway, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney for more details, and go online to thinkmidway.com. Think Midway. Midway, it's a better way. Glad to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show here on this Wednesday, while we have a couple minutes to just break away from baseball for a moment. NHL Stanley Cup Finals Game 4 tonight. You're my hockey guy, Randy. What do you think of the series so far? It's like one of the few times in history the first three games have all been decided by one goal.
Yeah, it has been a kind of dramatic series. They played very, very well. I thought it was interesting. They made a goalie change for a while with the Lightning, but the Lightning's offense has done a very, very good job of possessing the puck and keeping it away from the Blackhawks. It really has been a lot of fun in terms of it being very, very tight. Every game has been close, and yeah, I always root for the original six guys, you know, so I usually root for those teams like the Blackhawks. But Tampa Bay, even though they knocked out my Rangers, who was my pick to win it all, they've really kind of showed some tenacity, and I can't think of the guy's name right now. Number 77 for the Lightning. He is really, and I feel unfortunate because I didn't watch that much of the Lightning in the regular season. Kind of wish I had, because he's really kind of proven to be a very gutsy, very strong performer for them. And I just really like Tampa Bay style, but I'm still kind of going with the Blackhawks, even though Tampa Bay is really kind of prove something to me. I don't want to say they were a flash in the pan, because they had a pretty good record, and that's why they're hosting four of the seven games instead of it being in Chicago. I've been impressed. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776 if you'd like to join the program today. Randy, NBA, we just threw it out at the beginning. Yeah. There. What a I'm not even going to go back to the last call. I gave my opinion. I thought, again, as long as you're getting it right. So
again, I didn't like their methodology. It seemed like they were ready to move on.
And for 4 hours on Mike and Mike this morning, they need to be called to the office and slapped on the hand. I know it's an opinion, and it's the same way back and forth. But wow. So I disagreed with Greenberg today totally on that subject. But getting back to the game, it is staggering what Cleveland is doing, because yes, you have to say it's mostly LeBron, but even with 40 points and the 12 rebounds and the 8 assists and everything that he's doing, and yes, he's on the bench when they start the fourth quarter and they're up by 17 and immediately it's cut to 8 and they call timeout and bring him back in because they just don't have any offense.
You lost two All-Stars. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, that's what I'm saying. How in the world
what
are
do you think's
going to
happen?
Their defense is incredible.
Yeah, Bellavedova has done a great job defensively, and then when he can throw in, and literally he did, he threw in that bucket in the final minute.
and then a couple of them are in the hospital from
dehydration. Yeah. They work so hard. I mean, I've given the NBA a better shot this year than I have in the last several years in terms of watching the NBA Finals, and it at times hasn't been the greatest basketball to watch. But Cleveland has to win ugly. They've lost two All-Stars. They're not going to get a lot of style points for how they're playing the game. They need to make this kind of a dirty, gritty game, not the bad boys kind of ugly that we had with the Pistons years ago, but they've got to outwork you. And they've absolutely been able to do that down the stretch. And I've enjoyed it. Like I say, I'm more of a hockey guy, but every other night, one of those two finals are on. And I've enjoyed my time watching the NBA. The thing that always has driven me nuts about the NBA is you can always write the script. You always kind of know. Doesn't matter if one team's up by 20. It's going to be in a close ball game later on. Don't get too excited when you got a big lead.
We mentioned yesterday in Game 3 how the odds had went from Cleveland being favored by 1.5 to Golden State being favored by 2.5. And I also mentioned yesterday that they had the line out for Game 4. Cleveland was favored by 1 point. Not anymore. Golden State 2.5 to 3 as they get ready.
Because they need to win. They need to win. And they're too good of a team. They're too deep to have everybody kind of have an off night.
Game 4 tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio. Well, we've talked a lot of baseball the last 3 days here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we want to talk a little bit more as Arkansas and Dave Van Horn. We talk about those adopted programs that come in. Husker fans love Coach Van Horn, and he'll bring the Razorbacks in. And we welcome one of the respected beat writers out of the SEC Conference from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Bob Holt, who has been taking care of his harem back there in Fayetteville today. And Bob, thanks so much for the Doug and Daddy Show. Is the cat okay? That's the first thing I want to know.
Oh, yeah, she's had a sinus infection, so I've got some ointment I have to put in her eye, but she doesn't like that very much. Yeah, she's doing fine. Thanks for asking.
I don't like having things stuck in my eye either, and I don't have claws. So,
well, Bob, we joked with Andy from Virginia yesterday about how he was making vacation plans because he didn't think there was any way the Cavaliers were getting to Omaha. Can the same thing be said about the Razorbacks?
Yeah, I definitely did not expect that I'd be headed up to Omaha to cover Arkansas, the College World Series. That would probably be an understatement, yeah.
Well, when you guys traveled down to Springfield, Missouri, you faced a team that I think had a 19.
They were at home.
They were at home. But they, you placed it. You took on a team that had this huge winning streak. Talk a little bit about having to face them and battle through that, because Arkansas started off with an 18-4 win. You know, they got really rolling here, and that just kind of built some momentum, and then won another tight game later on.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy deal. Missouri State, which actually is a little bit, you know, about 2 hours north here, they were by format should have hosted as a number 8 national seed, but they share their ballpark with the Texas League AA Springfield Cardinals. Hammond Field, it's a real nice ballpark, and so the Cardinals are playing at home, so Missouri State, when they won that regional, them and Arkansas got the super regional here, which was a huge help. Arkansas drew over 35,000 fans for those 3 games. And like you said, 18-4, they beat John Harris, who I know was a first-round pick. I can't remember who took him, but he's a, you know, top-notch pitcher. And they, I think they scored 18 off him. They roughed him up. I think they scored 8 off him. And then at that point, Missouri State started using a bunch of back-end guys. So that game was a little misleading. But yeah, Arkansas had been hot and went in that Stillwater region. They just poured it on. And then a guy named Matt Hall, who is kind of a crafty lefty, he just mowed them down, and they lost 3-1. And then they won the Sunday game 3-2. They scored three in the first day, and they just kind of hung on. And Zach Jackson, their closer, who actually could end up starting in the series because they've got some serious pitching injury issues, he retired the last 11 batters, striking out Mike Matheny's son, Tate Matheny, is Missouri State center fielder, to win the game. So, yeah, it was a big ride for them. They weren't expected to win over in Stillwater, and they beat Oklahoma State over there and St. John's and Norris. So, yeah, it's been a ride that I'm not even sure. I mean, the players are confident in everything. I think Tyler Spoon, the right fielder, said the other day, about 3 weeks ago, they start feeling like, hey, maybe we can do something special here. And they obviously have done, and they don't feel like they're done yet. But, it's been a pretty miraculous run so far.
Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette talking a little Razorback baseball with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One more on that series. Even Coach Van Horn kind of tipped his hat to saying, you know what, by playing at home, we got this Game 3 win. Any more backstory since you guys were right there? I mean, how PO'd was Missouri State that they couldn't play at home? I mean, this is something that doesn't happen to their institution at all.
Well, I mean, I definitely understand if Missouri State had frustration, but I mean, you know, they couldn't really blame Arkansas. I think Missouri State and the Cardinals, I think the Cardinals were willing to work with Missouri State to the extent that they would like, okay, we'll play early or we'll play late or whatever. But the NCAA basically said, hey, look, you know, we're not going to share the facility for the weekend. What if you had weather issues, you know, and then you've got to clear the stadium? It just wasn't going to work to play pro, you know, minor league game and an NCAA regional game. You know, we're not talking about, you know, some midweek non-conference game. So, and even Dave said, well, he said he was glad to be home, and they had record crowds. But he said he felt bad for Missouri State and felt bad for Keith Gutton, their coach, because, you know, they didn't have a place to play. But, you know, that's not the NCAA's fault. That's not Arkansas's fault. And, you know, maybe Missouri State in the future, I'm not sure. I mean, they've got a nice program, but I think that was the first time they'd ever hosted a Super. They went to the World Series back in 2003. They've got a good program. But maybe in the future they need to get with the Cardinals and make sure those weekends are free. Although you wonder, you know, next time Missouri State would be in position to host a Super Regional. Come around once every 25 years or something. But, yeah, I'm sure that we asked the Missouri State coaches and players about that when they first got here, like, were they upset or frustrated? And, you know, I think Keith Gutton said, well, there's nothing we can do about it, so why worry about it? And the players said, you know, they weren't going to worry about it. So I'm sure there was some frustration, but, you know, they weren't going to talk about that publicly because that really doesn't do anybody any good.
Bobby, you already kind of hinted at this a little bit. The Arkansas pitching rotation took a shot when they announced just a couple days ago that James Teague wasn't going to be available, one of the starters for the Hogs, because of an injury. Talk a little bit about just how thin that pitching staff now has become for Arkansas.
Well, I guess to get involved with the Hogs, they're razor thin because and they've really been dealing with this all year. Trey Killian, who's their most experienced pitcher, he just got drafted by the Rockies in the ninth round yesterday. He began the year, well, I guess in college you don't have a disabled list, but he began the year out because he had elbow tendonitis. And he was really a dominant pitcher last year. His ERA was like 2.30. And I know the balls changed things a little bit this year. But his record was never very good because they averaged about 2 runs for his starts. The fact that they scored 18 runs in one of his starts, you know, Friday was like miraculous, but that's about a half a season's worth of runs and he usually pitches. But he's also pitching against the other team's number one guy. But so then Killian started the year out, and then Dominic Cacalini kind of took over as the number one starter. Well, he's out now. He's out of the series. He had pitched since the SEC tournament. He had some kind of undisclosed physical ailment, I guess you'd call it, that necessitated them taking him. When they were in Stillwater, they took him to the hospital in Oklahoma City. And he's okay now, and he's not going to pitch the rest of the year, but he dressed out for the regional, and I guess because of those, what they call them, the HIPAA laws, whatever the federal health laws, they haven't really said anything. But he's back with the team, and they're hoping. Dave Van Horn said that he's, you know, they're optimistic he could return to pitch next year. And then James Teague, who pitched four innings and allowed one unearned run against Missouri State in the Sunday game, he came out because of some elbow soreness, and they did an MRI and found out he has a stress reaction, not a stress fracture, but a stress reaction. And so Dave said that he basically needs to just shut down for 2 months and rest. He doesn't need any kind of surgery, so that's good news. But he'd been a key guy either as a starter or as a long reliever for him. So I would say those are two of their top six pitchers. So they basically lost a third of their core group. And then Killian's come back, and he's pitched pretty well, but he hasn't been dominant. You know, now, he has had some dominant games. He first start back, he pitched seven perfect innings against Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. Because he was on a pitch count, he had to come out, and Arkansas wound up losing the game. But so Killing can be very good, but he hasn't been quite as good as he was last year. And Jackson, he's a sophomore. He'll probably be a first-round pick next year. I mean, he's got a mid-90s fastball. Keith Gutton, the Missouri State coach, talked about his curve and said he basically has a breaking ball that few people on earth can hit, which I thought was a pretty good line. And Jackson also has started in the past. But he had control issues, so what would happen is he'd go out there and throw, 50 pitches in two innings or something. So they made him more of a reliever. And he was really good the other day. He didn't walk anybody. He faced 12 guys, which was sort of – he's kind of been known for the – he'll walk the bases loaded, and then he'll strike out the next three guys. Matter of fact, against Mississippi State – or not Mississippi State, Ole Miss, he had the bases loaded with two walks and a bunt single – load the bases, and then Ole Miss had their 3, 4, 5 hitters coming up, and he struck them all out. I mean, it was the kind of thing like, I don't know how old you guys are, if you might see Al Hrabowski do stuff like that. He was pitching for the Cardinals. So Jackson's got, he's got A-plus stuff. So they got some really good pitcher. And then Keaton McKinney, who'd really been their number one starter in terms of results about the last 5 or 6 SEC series, well, he's got a hip deal or something, and he was only able to go one inning against Florida in the SEC. They pulled him out, and then he went four innings against Oklahoma State, and then he went one and two-thirds the other day. They pulled him out. David Horn said his hip is fine, but the pitching coach told us he got a cortisone shot. I don't know how many people who feel fine get a cortisone shot. So you got two of your top six pitchers out. One of your other top guys, has been dealing with issues. I'll just say that. Maybe he'll go out and throw great. And they're saying he'd be the problem, game two starter there in Omaha. But so basically, I'm not sure how they're doing it, to be honest. The one good thing about going to the World Series is if you win, you get some days off. Even if you lose, you get a day between games, Saturday and Monday. So that'll help them. But it's just hard to see their pitching being able to sustain a run. But, the fact they got this far is evidence that they can deal with this stuff.
We're talking with Bob Holt here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Got another couple questions for him before we get off to lunch here today. And as he mentioned, the pitching staff, even without all that he's just told us about, we talked about Cal State Fullerton's lack of offense. Well, the high ERA is Arkansas at 4.08. They're hitting .289. But every team has a player or two, Bob. And for the folks that just casually go to the College World Series and don't know much about them, you got a first-round draft pick here that went to Boston, sophomore outfielder, and Andrew, and if I get this right, Benintendi, who is just incredible. He steals bases. He's got 19 home runs. He's hitting .380. He's headed to the Red Sox organization. This is a special player for you guys.
Yeah, you mentioned his name. You pronounce that accurately and far better than the commissioner did the other night on the draft. He's had an incredible year. He's batting .380, but going to the SEC tournament, he was batting .415. Mm. So he's come down to earth a little bit. He's also been seeing some great pitchers. And Dave Van Horn alluded to this a couple times. Like when they were in Hoover, he's taking BP, and there's 50 scouts watching him. That's a lot of pressure, especially now he's a sophomore, but he's draft eligible because he turns 21 on July 6th, which is within 45 days of the draft, if anybody can follow that math. But and there's no doubt he's signing because obviously he's going to get $3 or $4 million or whatever is slotted for that spot. But, he just had an incredible year. Last year, he was good. He hit about 280. Plays real good center field. And then this year, you know, he lifted weights all summer. Didn't play summer ball. He was rehabbing a quad, a little soreness there. So he went from like 165 to 180. He's not real tall. He's 5'10". Yeah, he's obviously got a lot of pop. You know, he had his strength. The ball's carrying a little bit better. He's a more mature hitter. It's all added up to this unbelievable year. SEC Player of the Year. He's one of the four Golden Spikes finalists. He'll be there at Omaha playing. They're all from the SEC, Vanderbilt, LSU, and Arkansas. And, yeah, he really can do it all. I mean, he obviously can hit with power. He can hit for average. Got a good arm. He can go get the ball. He can steal bases for you. He's got good speed. So, yeah, he's really a complete ball player. And, you know, fans should enjoy seeing him play.
Arkansas's matchup in the first round is with Virginia. Last year, Arkansas' season came to an end at the Charlottesville Regional. Is there a little history there, or is that not really a factor heading into that game?
Well, I think there's a little history. I'm looking at the stats. Virginia's got a lot of the same pitchers, and they've got three or four position players, and Arkansas's got quite a few guys that played in that regional. And we asked the guys about that. You know, and I mean, it's not like, you know, the greatest rivalry in college baseball or something, but, you know, they do have that. I think payback would be on the Razorbacks' minds. Hey, these guys, you know, ended our season last year. And Arkansas can't end Virginia's season or vice versa, but they can sure, the winner of that game will sure have a leg up. And so, and there's a little bit of familiarity there. And I can tell you, Arkansas is sure looking forward to playing them on a neutral field as opposed to having to go to their place. And also, there's a little bit of history because the 2009 World Series, they played kind of an epic extra inning game where Arkansas, you know, Brett Eibner plays for the Omaha AAA team. Now, the Royals AAA team hit a home run, sent it into extras, and Arkansas won the game. And so there's a little bit of history there. And I think Arkansas definitely, they remember Virginia's the team that knocked them out last year.
Bob, last question, and I think we would be flogged being here in Nebraska and not asking you at least a football question. But Brett Bielema, Arkansas, of course, Husker fans, familiar with going against him. How does things look this fall for you guys?
Well, the expectations are really sky high. I'm sure everybody likes to get the national magazines this time of year, and Arkansas is in the top 20 in several of those, or top 25 in several of those. You know, polls, you know, the way too early polls or whatever they call them. And I saw Vegas had the over-under on wins for them at 8.5. I don't know if I buy into that. I don't gamble or anything. But I think Arkansas is going to be really good. And Brett Bielema's, you know, got his system well entrenched now and have, you know, players. I mean, they still lack depth in some areas, but they've got much better depth and everything. And the thing is the schedule is just so unforgiving in the SEC, especially the West. I mean, I think some of these polls I see have all seven West teams in them. Well, somebody's got to lose those games. And then they're in the East, they're playing Tennessee, who's kind of an up-and-coming team like Arkansas. I went 7-6 and won their bowl game. And so, you know, I think Arkansas, definitely it's on the rise. I mean, I see people project them to win, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. I don't know if that's realistic with the schedule, but yeah, definitely football's on the rise here.
Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure chatting with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always appreciate your work, and we will see you at the College World Series for the opener.
Okay, you guys take care.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Holt joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Arkansas and Virginia, the opening game of the College World Series Saturday at 2 o'clock.
What a great weekend. I mean, there's a lot to watch. You probably have some NBA going on. You'll have the Stanley Cup going on. Got College World Series going on. Got Women's World Cup. You know, there's a lot going on this weekend if you're a sports fan. And don't give me that look with the Women's World Cup. It's a pretty good brand of soccer.
Yeah, I know it is.
Okay.
Soccer fans will watch it. And it doesn't.
And there'll be a little bit of jingoistic people who just kind of go USA.
Women's World Cup, if you can watch three TVs of the things you said, it'll be on the third TV, and I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely College World Series. And now that
and
the
that's
NBA
bigger in
NHL,
Nebraska than other places.
I mean,
yeah.
This NBA-NHL thing could literally have been 3-0 both ways right now, and we could have been done by Saturday. But it looks like both are going to go deep here. And our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Who you got in the College World Series? And we put all eight out there, so it's pretty split. But a majority going with Florida and Vanderbilt to win the College World Series. Those were the top choices, Florida and Vanderbilt. You got a pick?
You know, I'm kind of surprised the LSU isn't higher on that list, but if I got to pick a team, I probably would say Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I hedged towards Florida yesterday because I thought they looked the best in the postseason so far, regionals and super regionals. So I went with Florida. Today we ask you, which recent unknown had the better performance yesterday? Matthew Dellavedova with the 20 points or rookie Chris Heston, who threw the no-hitter? Even he found a way to shut down Lucas Duda and the New York Mets. A no-hitter for Chris Heston of the San Francisco Giants, who seem to throw more no-hitters than anybody else. It's, what, 4 or 5 years in a row that they've done it? 11 strikeouts in this no-hitter, and he struck out the side in the ninth. So he wasn't overpowering throughout the game, getting one an inning, but he struck out the side in the ninth of a no-hitter at home.
Or, finishing with style.
At New York. Incredible.
Yeah, finishing with in style.
That's who I'm taking.
Well, and again, that's more historical than what Dellavedova did. But he's done it for a couple of different games. So it depends on which way you kind of want to go with that. Probably the no-hitter is more historic than what the stepping up, next man up in the NBA Finals. But personally, I think it's not just one game. It's two games. I think I'd go with Dellavedova.
And Chris Young nearly did it later in the night for Kansas City, but he had a lot more pressure because the Royals still can't score, taking a no-hitter into the seventh inning. The Royals had first and second, nobody out, and couldn't score. And so then in the seventh with two out, give up a triple, which was the only hit of the ball game. They took him out right after that. Royals win it 2-0, looking for the sweep of Minnesota tonight, 7-10 on the Breeze. 94.5.
Let's stir something up. They got a lot of pitching in Kansas City. Would you trade one of those good young arms to get another bat so you can get a little bit more offense?
No.
I'm with you, but it'd be one of those things you got to consider, I think.
It depends where you're at. Well, let's wait till we get a little closer to the deadline.
But what would
they were hitting.
Yeah. What
they
would another hitting. Bat do to them? What would another bat do to them? Would that keep priming the pump offensively and getting some more runs in if you got the right bat? And again, you know, let's put the air quotes on the right bat, whatever the heck that means. If you get the right choice, you always make the deal. But so that's a little hard to kind of come up with. But I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing that the Royals are missing, and they're in a position where they've got some folks out there that they could trade and get some real value from.
Meanwhile, the Huskers that were drafted, catcher Tanner Luback yesterday by the Angels in the ninth round, and then also in the ninth round, a recruit, a prospect, and right-handed pitcher Pierce Romero was taken by Arizona. He's out of Santa Barbara City College. We'll wrap up today's Busy Doug and Daddy show after this.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Make your summer concert plans now and buy your tickets today to the Adams County Fair in Hastings. This summer's Adams County Fair Fest concert series will take place July 15th through the 18th. Check out this unbelievable lineup. Legendary Lone Star, Colt Swindell, Harmony, and Granger Smith. Now that's a lot of talent for one fair. Call today and get your Adams County Fair Fest tickets at 402-462-3247. That's 402-462-3247.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. KXPN Kearney. KICS Hastings.
Day like this where you're
squirmish.
Well, it's a day like this where the crops aren't up, but the irrigation, I mean, we know what's going to be here.
It's coming. Yeah.
That's why TNL says, folks, it's here. And to find out why so many growers are moving to TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system, their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of TNL's hydraulic design are a few of the reasons why so many farmers have a TNL in their field, and you should as well. And don't forget to find out more and ask and look at the new GPS navigation corner system. They're like no other at TNL Irrigation. They want you to make money. They don't if you don't. That's why they've got a superior product. TNL Irrigation, worldwide headquarters in Hastings, serving every state in the union and more than 60 countries worldwide because their product works. TNL, like no other. There is some Legion baseball tonight. Again, Wednesday is usually a hot night. Tyler Mestel, I don't care who you are, and I can't pick up every stat from everybody, but Tyler finishes the game last night for Kearney Runza with an inside-the-park grand slam home run. There's something you don't hear about.
Yeah.
Probably fewer than...
Nice way to walk off with that deal. It's kind of a fun way
to end it. I mean, just any time, an inside-the-park grand slam home run. I wonder, versus no-hitters, I wonder what the stat is in Major League Baseball. Not to end the game just ever. What do you think? Not to end the game, just ever.
First of all, what are there, like three inside the park home runs a year in Major League Baseball? What are the odds you're going to do that with the bases loaded? I mean, the numbers of that, if you're looking in the bigs, wow. The odds of that would be huge.
Kearney Post 52 and Runza will play at Hastings tonight. The senior game's on 1230 KHAS. 5 points in Little Caesars canceled tonight. They'll be back in action tomorrow. And for Grand Island, Dinsdale's home tonight against Lexington. And boy, you know the bikers got up early this morning in the brand so they could avoid the heat. They stayed in Axtell last night. They're on their way to Clay Center today. And so best of luck to all the riders from a bicycle ride across Nebraska off to Clay Center, and then they get to the eastern part of the state. Tomorrow, the Hastings Tribune Annual Volleyball Classic will take place. We'll talk about that. The West Nebraska All-Star Volleyball and Football games are out in Scotts Bluff. They used to come all the way out even farther east, then they were way west, and now they've kind of brought some more athletes and coaches in from our listing area. We'll talk about that also. They are reporting to camp today for the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel, which is on Saturday. Adams Central coach Dan Linusky will join us to talk about that. We'll talk with Virginia outfielder Joe McCarthy on the show tomorrow as well. We want to thank our head coaches, Paul Maneri of LSU, Rick Vanderhook of Cal State Fullerton. They're on the way to the College World Series, and also to Bob Holt talking Razorback baseball from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Randall?
A lot of baseball coming up. It all starts on Saturday. A lot of fun.
College World Series, every game here on ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow at 11.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.